God's doing what he wants to do. It's good to be here. I hadn't been here in a month. Last month, or this month, I guess, is the first Sunday in the month. I've been a part of Morningstar Ministries as what they call Level 2 or Associate Minister for 11 years. The Lord last year, I just felt him prompting, said, go ahead and get ordained by them. So the first Sunday of this month, I was there, got ordained by them. So we're under them even tighter than we've ever been before, which is a good thing. They're going in a direction we're going, or we're going in the direction they're going, and we've been influenced by them greatly in many different ways. It's a good organization, plenty of integrity. So that was the first Sunday. The third Sunday, they have a prophetic retreat center. They call it Morning Light Center, or retreat center, up in the about an hour and a half north of Charlotte, up in the mountains, in the hills. And so Susan and I were there sometime, the third Sunday. Sometime we were there this month, I can't remember. And so that kept us from coming here. This next month, I'm only going to be here once, unfortunately. But the first Sunday, I'm going to Larry Cockerham. It's a group of pastors in Cleveland, Tennessee that we have connected with, a group there. He's having his 34th anniversary next Sunday, the Living Word Church in Cleveland, if any of y'all have ever been there. And he asked Susan and I to come and just be their guest and be with them. So that's cool. That'll be fun. And then the third Sunday we'll be ministering twice at Tom and Renee Lunger's church. They usually have a Saturday service. We're going to be ministering there, and they're going to have a special Sunday morning service. So keep us in your prayers as we go there, and hopefully set them on fire and keep them going in the direction they need to go, and their fire runs off on us. Their praise and worship is just off the scale, too. It's just unbelievable what he's done there. And so, but I forgot an announcement going through here. Next Sunday, we have our fifth Sunday worship. Calhoun will be up here, so that'll be good. I'll get to be here two in a row because I hate not being here. This is my family. This is my home. And even though it's fun going out, it's funner, if that's an English word, to be here. And but that's next Sunday, so come a little earlier. Come about 9:45. Just bring a light breakfast, finger foods, and we'll all just hang out and we'll have a good time. We're going to do two things. The first half is we're going to interview Cynthia and David Rogers. Not everybody knows them very well, except those in California. And so most of y'all don't know them. We're going to ask them some questions, their deepest, darkest secrets. And then we're going to have a time of question and answers. Myself, James, Doreen, and Jan. And so come up with some great theological questions for Doreen, not me, and whatever. And we'll also be sharing some things I think the Lord's doing in the earth. But it's also just a Q&A time, and it'll be a fun time. And, of course, worship will go longer and be off the scale, and it'll be good. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for what you got going on today. And I just pray that your timing is perfect and we hear exactly what you want us to hear and exactly what you want us to know. In Jesus' name, amen. This is this little thing, the logo that's up on the PowerPoint. I'm just going to leave it there. That's something you're going to see more and more of. It's because my goal is to raise you and myself up to be followers of Jesus Christ, not just converts of Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 28 at the end in the Great Commission, he said, the Great Commission is not that everybody be saved, but you make disciples of everyone. Disciples are people that have disciplined themselves to hear the voice of their master, do it, and follow. And when that happens, that's what ushers him coming back into the earth. Salvation is obviously the first step, but we don't want to stay there. We want to be followers of Jesus. And the first step there is to hear his voice. And I know I preach on this a lot. A lot of it's be review, but a lot of it's just to remind us of your inheritance in him. It says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Everything is summed up begins and ends with Jesus Christ. He created the world, and He's coming back at the end. There's a lot of metaphors for who we are in the Scriptures. It calls us soldiers, calls us building blocks. We're called sons and daughters. We're called the bride. But the bride is one of them that's going to stay at the end. He calls us soldiers, but eventually you will not be soldiers anymore, because the fight will be over with, and all His enemies will be under His feet. And you won't need to be soldiers anymore. The war's done, the devil's thrown into hell, and all His people. The judgment seat of Christ is done. The building block, the living stone or a lively stone, will eventually not be anymore, because you would have found your place. You would have discovered your identity, and you're in, and you have become a part of that city of God that Abraham went out thousands of years ago to find. And the New Jerusalem will have come down, which to me is largely symbolic of you and I and the city that's coming into the earth. And you found your place, and maybe He calls you a block, but that's not where it's going to end up. The major way it's going to end up, and the metaphor that's going to live on forever, is the bride of Christ. It says in Ephesians 5 that marriage is like His relationship between Him and His church. As Jesus died for the church, the husband is to give up his life for the church. And is there that intimacy there? Is that intimacy He wants with each of you? He says in Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. We often use that as a salvation verse, and it's a great verse for that. The Holy Spirit acknowledges it and uses it. But you realize He was speaking to one of the seven churches? He is speaking to Christians and saying, hey, Gary, maybe not Gary, but Gary, I know you're saved, and I know I'm inside of you. And Ephesians 1 says when He became saved, He came in here as a placeholder. He came in here as a sign of things to come. But you know, I'm wanting even more. I'm knocking. And it says, whoever opens the door, come in and sup with Him. I'm going to come in and eat dinner with Him. I'm going to come in, and back then, I saw this in Turkey when I was in Istanbul. They don't sit at chairs like this in a traditional setting. They got a low table, and everybody just gets around and just sort of lays down and on their elbows and et cetera, et cetera. And they just are relaxed in each other's presence. And it says in Ephesians 5 that the Christ is like the church, is like the marriage relationship. And it says all the way back in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. And it's not good for Christians, for you and I, to just follow the rules without His voice. And He's looking for a helpmate, like the wives are helpmates to us. That's good news. And we're going to be true partners. Jesus Christ came into the earth, and they asked Him what He was doing. He said, I'm about my Father's business. Each of you, we're going to learn to say the same thing. I'm about my Father's business. That means, and He's got a big business. That means Gary's got a part, Joe's got a part, Jill's got a part of where the business of God is, that we're to fit in. And we're to be a helpmate in doing that in the earth. And it starts with hearing His voice. Yes. Turn over to Acts 2:17. Most verses I just fly through, but I'm going to read this one. This was, we had Pentecost Sunday a couple of weeks ago, the first day of Pentecost. And I'm not going to read all of Acts 2. It's great. It's the first Pentecost that happened. It's when the church was born. It's when the Holy Spirit showed up. You might have heard about the blowing wind and the tongues of fire on people's heads. Down in verse 12 of Acts 2, it says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Everybody's speaking in tongues. They're hearing the gospel message in their own language. 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Follow fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem. Well, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This is how the church started off. They were so full of the Holy Spirit. They were walking in His gifts that people thought they were crazy and drunk. Are you ready to be a people so full of the Holy Spirit that people call you crazy or amazed and said they must be drunk? This is where it will end up, with or without Craig. Because it says in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. In the King James, it says upon all flesh. Here it's in the NIV, it said all people. It didn't say all Christians. I don't know how you work all this out. But unbelievers, the Holy Spirit is going to be so strong, they're going to start prophesying. Have you ever been in a group of people that one starts prophesying, everybody else starts prophesying? It unleashes something. I've been in groups where unbelievers started prophesying. Why? Because the Spirit of God, He's just pouring it out on all people. The Holy Spirit, what's the point of this? The Holy Spirit is your voice that you're listening to. When you got saved, He came inside of you. We often think of the Trinity as God the Father, Jesus the Son, and that other guy. Well, that other guy is a third person of the Trinity, and He is inside of you. We don't pray for something to come. We pray to release what's already there. We pray to hear what's already here. He wants you to hear His voice so well, He put the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so many times I find myself, that's weird. Is it normal to hear the Holy Spirit? It's not normal to not hear Him. Did I say that right? Close. If we're not hearing them, something's not normal. You're made up. You're the only humans or the only beings on earth and in heaven and in the universe that is made up from two worlds. Animals are purely of the physical world. Angels are purely of a heavenly world. Humans are the only ones that were made out of dirt, like the animals, but never came alive till the Holy Spirit, till Father God breathed on them. Have you ever thought you're schizoid sometimes? It's probably because it's close sometimes. It feels that way sometimes. There are three voices we can routinely listen to. Ourselves, the habits, the things we've told ourselves, the demonic forces that are trying to keep you from following your calling on your life that talked me out of things so many times. Like He came to Adam and Eve in the garden and said, did God really say that? Did He really mean that? How many times have you been with that? You get a word or God shows you something in your prayer and you step out and it's just hard and it's not working and all hell's broken open. Why is all hell broken open? Because you're reclaiming from His kingdom into your kingdom and bringing things that are not right into rightness, and He likes it when it's right. You're trying to bring light into darkness, and darkness does not want to be exposed, and those little voices are there, and sometimes we interpret it for hours when we need to be rebuking them. we renew ourselves, we rebuke the devil. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. But that's for another time. And then there's the third voice, the Holy Spirit voice. It's that still small voice inside of us that I talked about last month. I want to talk about today. It is your inheritance to hear him daily. To hear him whenever he wants to speak and whenever you need an answer. Not just at the spiritual highs. The Holy Spirit came to teach. So when you have a question, ask him. He came for comfort. He came to bring gifts. Why? Because we just need them sometimes. Sometimes, if I've had several prophetic words over me in a row and somebody's around and they say, you want a prophetic word, come on up. Sometimes in the past, I wouldn't go up there. Well, I've had my share. Now I'm just going to get greedy. I'm going to run and fight Gary to get up there. Because we need all the encouragement, the exhortation, the uplifting that we need. Your sons shall dream, shall see visions, and your own men shall have dreams. The Holy Spirit is often seen as a taboo topic. It's something that we have as a doctrinal statement over our lives. But in the end times, all people shall prophesy. You're on the right side of history. And you know when the end times started? On the first day of Pentecost. Because he said, what's happening? Don't you know that Joel thousands of years ago prophesied, that all he's doing is quoting Joel, prophesied that in the end times, I shall pour out my spirit on all flesh. And he's wanting to do it even now.
Yes, sir.
We stop it. Craig stops it a lot of times. What happens when we say it's not for today? What happens if we cut it off? We are grieving the Holy Spirit. This is a day where revelation just means hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of words. Prophetic, what does it mean to be a prophetic people? It means hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is growing like you cannot imagine. How many of you hear the Lord better now than you used to? Speaking to you more than you used to. It says in scriptures that many times he hides things as treasures for those who want them. If you will seek me, you will find me. Wake up every day, no matter how bad you sinned the night before and you repented, no matter how tore up you may be, no matter how depressed, and say, Father, I'm seeking you today. See, the little voice comes along and makes it a performance-based thing. Well, you're not quite in the right place to hear his voice. That's when you need to run. He is pouring out his spirit like he's never poured out. His revelation is increasing. Dreams are increasing. Visions are increasing. Why? Because he wanted to do this 2,000 years ago. And I want to be a part of the generation that says yes. So we can just end all this thing. How many of you are ready for him to come back? I'm ready for him to come back. I'm ready. I mean, life's good. It's exciting. I want to see people saved, all this stuff. But it would be a whole lot easier if he just came back. How about that? We're going to do our part. He may not come back for 1,000 years or whoever. But we're going to see it come out so that the norm, when I come up to Carl and say, what did God show you this week? We don't have to, what did he show me? What was that, about 8 months ago? I mean, it's better than nothing. But it'd be even better, she goes, he showed me a lot of things. Where would you like to start?
Yeah, how much time
do you have? Does that excite you?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Sunday, May the 23rd, 2004, we had our first encounter weekend. Can't believe that's been 10 years ago. It was over at Cloudland Canyon. And I had an open-eyed vision. Y'all have heard this before. You've been around here. I'm going to read it again because it was a prophecy. It's the second time I'd seen that vision. And let me just read it. It's rather long. But I was shown a map showing the terrain. This is all right in front of me as I was looking out. I could just see all this like watching a TV. I was shown a map showing the terrain of Northwest Georgia lying flat. It's a map of 8 counties. I could see clearly Lookout Mountain on the west, Fort Mountain lining the east side of the map. The geographical area outside this area, these 8 counties or 7 counties, was fuzzy and opaque. The map was burning around the edges. And in any moment, the whole map looked like it was going to burst into flames. In the center of the map, in the valley between the two mountain ranges, were 700 people in perfect military formation. They were lined up northeast to southwest, facing southwest, just as the valley is laid out. They were standing in perfect formation. Now, this is metaphorical, but I believe it is happening in the physical, too. Spiritually, arms, legs, and bodies were all in perfect alignment individually and with each other. The spacing between each person was absolutely perfect. I'd never seen any army so well formed. They were following a voice from somewhere, but there was no visible leader. You could tell someone was commanding them, though. The Lord spoke to me and said, "Look at their eyes." As I looked closely, even their eyes were in perfect alignment of one another. They all looked forward, left, or right at the same time. Again, it was like they were being remotely controlled from somewhere else. As I looked even closer, I realized that there were flames behind their eyes. It revealed a fire that was burning bright on the inside of them. I knew by the Spirit that they moved and were controlled by the Holy Spirit. They were well-trained warriors that knew His voice and only moved by His voice. As a result, they all moved together precisely. They also knew how to march in formation with other people. They did not walk over or ahead or behind anyone. They knew their place and were able to keep it. We're going to talk about that in a minute. As I looked on this army, a holy fear came upon me. A terrible dread affected my spirit. It was a holy fear knowing that their purity and strength were matchless. I knew they were not afraid of anything and would fight to the death if need be. I knew their strength was twofold. First, they had an inner resolve to never look backwards or retreat. Second, the way they stood together made it almost impossible to catch someone alone or fight them one-on-one. You would have to always fight more than one of them at any time. The feeling of war, death to the enemy, and absolute strength hung in the air so thick I could almost see it. The last thing I noticed is that they all looked physically the same. You could not see distinguishing individual details or gender. They all looked the same. It was truly a powerful, nameless, faceless, and seen generation. The glory was in the whole army and not because of one person. How many of you want to hear the Lord's voice better?
Yes.
How many of you want to be a young man and have dreams? Have visions.
Amen.
I want to be an old man too. I'm just greedy. How many of you want to have visions and dreams?
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's stand. For those of you who want to, just come up here to the front. I'm going to teach some more, but I'm just going to pray over you. And we're going to pray that more dreams and more visions come your way. And that you hear the voice of the Lord whenever you seek Him. I would say every day, but we do have to put ourselves in a position to hear Him.
Yes.
Just like you have to put, if you're married, you have to put yourself in a position to hear your spouse. How many of you know you can be in the same room with your spouse and not hear your spouse?
Oh, yeah.
That's never happened to me. You can be in the same room with your kids and just not hear them. There have been many times, because my kids are all sanguines, all three of them. They all talk at the same time. I've just given up trying to get them all to take turns. It's just they're all excited. Even our dog is sanguine. God just likes to have sanguines around me. Sanguines are those extroverts that come into the room mouth first. And it's all good. Like Gary here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I love sanguines. And many times I'm just off my own little world and somebody, one of my kids go, he ain't listening, even though I'm at the same table. And I'll turn and go, I can't distinguish all these voices. But we do put ourselves in a position to hear the Lord. And I'm just going to go down real quick. We're not going to take long. I'm just going to pray over you. And I am believing, and I know, because I wasn't planning on doing this, and I just felt led of the Lord do that during the worship. We're going to hear His voice better than ever and have more dreams and visions. Why? Not to be super spiritual. It's our inheritance. It's awakening the spiritual part of us. Well, what if it gets out of control? Let's worry about it till it's at least the same control as your body and mind is. You got me? First Corinthians 7:17. You just have to do the old-fashioned way and look up in your Bible. I don't use it. I've tried putting them up on PowerPoints. I never go in the order that I think I'm going to go in. And so I spend more time trying to go back and forth between the verses. Plus, it's good for you to look them up every once in a while. You know, I think sometimes I wonder if I could do a sword drill like I did when I was growing up anymore. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says this, let each person lead the life that God has assigned to him. Every one of you, says in Ephesians 3:20, I've given you works beforehand, prepared for you to walk in. Every one of you was not born into this earth by accident, was not born into this earth without your destiny already written down. It's not a matter of your destiny being figuring out what your destiny is. And it's not about God coming up with a plan somewhere in your life and oh, okay, now it's time to give Jeff his destiny. It's already there. It's about us trying to figure out, okay, where is he going? What is he doing? What is he wanting me to do? It's already there. It says, I have prepared beforehand good works for you. Craig Cooper, I don't know how long I'm going to live. The Lord already knows. It's already written down all the good works in my calling and my place. It's already there. I may not do all of them, because he says many are called, but few are chosen. I want every one of you to be a chosen one. Because we can't add to our works, but we cannot do our works. Paul said at the end of his life, I have run the race, I've kept the faith, I have finished. I've done what I know to do. I am planning on in my own life, and I'm bringing every one of you with me, and you and I with you, that there's going to be some time in our life, I will know when it's time for me to give up my spirit as Jesus did on the cross and die. They were always trying to kill Jesus ahead of time. He said, it's not my time. But when he was on the cross, he says, it's finished. I don't know if I'll accomplish that, but that's my goal. Somewhere along the way, you know it's done. As James says, I've done my part. I've finished the course. I've kept the race, or whatever it is. Kept the faith, finished the race. And I, with the Holy Spirit, give up my spirit and go home peacefully. That's cool, isn't it? It's a good vision. And we walk that thing out every day. And walk with that thing every day. First Corinthians, let me keep reading on. And to which God has called him. Every one of you has been given a calling to be in the Father's business. Each of you, your business is different. Now, it's been my experience that very, very few Christians... Somewhere, this is just a number I'm making up, but to try to give, it's not like I've done statistical studies, but just a feeling, somewhere less than maybe 5% of Christians know what their gifts are and know what their calling is. And that's one reason we started doing the growth journey. In there, we do different tests. There's three different types of gifts. It's not like a thus saith the Lord, but helping us discover, helping us to seek into the Lord. We talk about in the last book, where's your, which seven mountains are you called up for? Every one of us is called to some area of society. It's the family, see if I can remember them, the family, the church, sports, entertainment, media, business, government. It's pretty close to that. And every one of us has a calling in that area to bring what's inside of us to there. There's two types of anointings, or two ways the anointings. When anointing is not a charismatic word, but it's a word popularized by the charismatic movement. The anointing means the Holy Spirit coming on you and His strength. Presence. It's really just sort of His presence. You could say the presence of the Holy Spirit. But the presence of the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you to change you. And many times He'll come on the outside of you to change others. And you can sense His presence not just at church. I've sensed it at work. I'm a software developer. That's one of my callings. It's one of those things to try to penetrate, to do the best that I possibly can at, to provide for my family, to be a good witness to those people. And there have been many times I've been frustrated, don't know what to do, don't like my job, and I say, Father, Holy Spirit, I need Your presence right now. Bring peace. Bring wisdom to show me how to be a better software developer. That's not spiritual. Sure it is. It's spiritual. It's just as spiritual as when I'm... Wherever you walk is spiritual. Why? Because you're spiritual. And you bring the spiritual in with you. There's no not spiritual places if you're there. And you say, when I come in, man, there's all these forces and I just feel this stuff. It's really spiritual then, because you got dark spirits fighting your light spirit. But eventually, the dark has to run. There may be some battles there. But whenever you walk into a dark room and turn the light on, you might see the darkness just sort of go off real quick. You might see it in shadows, it sort of goes away. But it goes away. It ain't there very long. And each of you have your calling. And so wake up every morning. Let's make this practical. Wake up every morning and say, Father, am I doing what You want me to do today? If not, help me to get repositioned. There's a lot of repositioning going on right now. In families, in jobs, in churches. Because this is important. It's not just enough to hear His voice. You have to listen to it. And a part of that is getting in the right position. Yes, sir. Some of us have made decisions of jobs, places to live, things to do that we did not ask the Lord about. And as a result, we're not in the right position and it's hard for Him to bless it. And so if that's the case, just go back and say, Father, I repent. It's as simple as that. He's not going to slap you upside the head. I repent for moving without first asking You. I don't know about you, but I often move and then ask Him to bless it. And it's the wrong order. He'll bless what He can because He's a great God. But sometimes we need to back up and go, Father, where am I supposed to be? Because Your calling is tied to location. Paul had no influence over Jewish churches. He had no influences or very little over Gentile churches he didn't start. But the churches he started and the Lord told him to go to, he had influence. Remember one time there was controversies among the churches. There was different teachers coming in teaching different things. And he said, now listen, you have many teachers but only one Father. And this is what you need to do. So your position geographically, spiritually, and everything else is a big deal. That's why it amazes me when I see like the West move here from Northeast Georgia. You know, I assume they heard from the Lord. Seems like they heard from the Lord, only they know it from the Lord. You'd have to hear from the Lord to move here. It's not that it's bad, but it's not like, you know, there's 48 jobs in what they do. You follow what I'm talking about? You know, you typically move to a bigger city. That's a big deal to move from another city to here. But their destiny is tied to this location. Now, it's not just the location, although that's it. There's a bigger picture here. It's tied to the people that are here. There's some group of people that they moved here for. Obviously, we're a part of that. I think there's even bigger pieces of it, because your destiny is tied to the place and it's tied to people. That's just the way he works. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 20. I tell you what, turn to 1 John 1, 7. The Lord, I talk about this a lot. Why? Because one of the major truths that he is wanting to do in his body is this concept that we talk on all the time about community and covenant. It's a big deal. You will not get to where you're going. If you hear God perfectly, he will tell you to align with a people in a place. He always does. Why? Because Jesus has no hands. He has no feet. He's the head. That's a big deal. He gives all the directions. He comes up with the plans. He comes up with the strategies. Who's his hands and feet? Us. How many bodies are there? And that bride is coming together as one people, like the vision I read. They're knowing their place perfectly. They're not stepping over people. They're not going ahead. They're not behind. And this is harder than it looks. But it's worth it. 1 John 1, 7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him." It says one another. If we're walking in the light, listening to his voice, obviously we're doing something right, but we're having fellowship with one another. I don't like doing that. I don't like being transparent. I don't like vulnerability. I don't like knowing each other. That's why we walk in the light. He helps us figure out all our hang-ups. What did he say was the one defining characteristic that people would know you're his Jesus follower, his disciple? Not that you prophesy and have miracles, although we talk about all that all the time. He said, you will know them by their love. Individually, you hear his voice, but them together by their love. Yes, sir. Now, this word fellowship in the NIV, what says fellowship in the NIV, I don't remember what it says in King James, here in 1 John 1, 7. This fellowship is the word koinonia. Maybe you ever heard that. It's a Greek word. Now, koinonia means this. It means more than shaking somebody's hand on Sunday morning. Or if you're a spirit-filled church, giving them a hug. That's all good. What this means is, you're so close with each other, you're flowing together. Where's the body? I mean, the blood in the body. It's in the body, it's not in the head. The blood of Jesus does amazing things. Heals us, gets rid of our sins. But the blood has to flow through all the individual parts. And the healing blood of Jesus Christ, the healing, all the forgiveness, obviously it comes from him, but sometimes from me just being so close to him, the life of God will flow from him to me. And that's how God chooses to bring life. And the reason many of us are sick is because we don't have the blood of Jesus flowing through others to us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 11:27. We'll This is the classic communion verse that we do at communion, and that is its primary meaning. It's a good verse. 1 Corinthians 11:27. Give you a second to flow over there or get over there. Turn to the person on your left and say, "You really need this. I'm glad you came today." "Therefore, whoever eats the bread," you know, this is talking about the Last Supper, the communion, like what we do over here to your right. "Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." I don't want to push this analogy further than what it is. I believe the primary analogy is talking about the body of Jesus Christ. His physical body as we do a remembrance. But I also want to throw out, what is his modern day body? What's the body today? It's us, as we've been talking about. The hands and the feet. And I'm going to propose to you that many are sick in the body of Christ, emotionally, even physically, because they have not recognized the body of the Lord. I meet a lot of Christians, more Christians now that say they're Christians, don't go to church than they did. And I don't want to do this to beat us up. I want us to do it to draw us closer together. I often hear, especially prophetic people, say, it's the church is too messed up. I can't go there. Of course it's messed up. But breaking away is not going to make it any better. We need the life that's in you, and you and me, and we're better off recognizing the body of the Lord. And it says in the Scriptures that the life is in the blood. And the blood is the Holy Spirit inside of us as it flows from one person to the other. Your calling, your destiny, your life is finding which part of the body on each side of us we need to be connected to. I cannot overemphasize this. This is not just a teaching. This is a principle that will save your life. If you're a loner, you're going to not make it well in the end. You will not finish well. Because we need the encouragement of one another. We need the wisdom of one another. And as James says, we all know in part. He gets that from 1 Corinthians 14. Says we prophesy in part and we know in part. And I need your part. Now, we're not like a spoke where there's somebody in the center and everybody's radiating around it. There's just a part on each side of us. And so there's a subset. You know, I may not be a part of what Shelley's, her, that close to her, but I'm close to somebody else. But I can get what Shelley has as it flows back around. Let's stand. It's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for an increase of revelation. I thank you for an increase of dreams and visions. And what's going to happen, the reason I say that, is when you start going, this is a dangerous thing. It's fun blessing others, but he'll also say, "Gary, in this area, I want you to reposition. I want you to connect to this person. Or move to the house. Or today, go to this church." And as we learn to recognize, the body is in a lot of different places, and I'm connected to some people, but when you start hearing his voice, he'll start telling you to reposition. He speaks to you. The Holy Spirit comforts you. He teaches you. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit, in connection with Jesus and the Father, they're on a mission. And it's fun. They're on a purpose. And so as we hear him, there'll be times he'll say to move. And connect. Move to Dalton from where were y'all? Blue Ridge, Clarksville, someplace over there. Now that's a hard one. Some of them are a little bit easier than that. One of the keys to hearing his voice when we're doing today, we've all said yes, is when he speaks to immediately respond as appropriate. The Lord told me once, he said, Craig, you need to respond quicker. Now, some things have a time frame on them. You know, you can't respond any quicker, but you know you're going to as soon as you can. But he told me once, he said, Craig, you need to learn to respond quicker. You overanalyze too much. If you had been Noah, the ark would have never been built. What kind of rebuke is that? Because I would have argued, listen, the ocean is hundreds of miles away, and it never rains here. What do you need a boat up here for? Have you noticed God very rarely explains himself? Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know what it is about Jill, but I mean, she's like her not normal happy self this morning. I don't know what it is. She's got a lot on her mind or something like that. But God said he is the lifter of your head. Okay?
The lifter of your head. That's good. And so let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you're connecting us with the rest of the body and you're teaching us how to recognize your body. And I thank you for dreams and visions and increases. And I thank you that this is a group of 700 perfectly walking in formation in their jobs, in their families, and following your voice. I pray your blessings upon them. I pray a Father's blessing upon them in everything they do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a great afternoon.